So are you happy to have the Ballys in the house with us this morning? Now, this couple, we are not just co-workers in the field of God, but they are my friends. Friends Delaney and Doyle, and we've loved them for years. We've met with them when we were out on the road and went to dinner when we got into Oklahoma. Now, he don't look like an Okie. He married one, but he's not. But I'm thinking he's lived there long enough now to be one. Don't you think, Renee? Sherlock is from Trinidad. And this man has spent his life in study in the Word. I was thinking last evening when we were at lunch, Mr. Finnis Dake, who wrote the Dake Bible that I studied for years, he gave 55 years of his life to that Bible, and I always so admired that. And yet this man has given, listen to this, listen, over 30 years to just, not just, but to the book of Revelation. Taught the book of Revelation. You can take study courses on his ministry online. He'll tell you more about that. But yesterday as we were at lunch, Renee told me, she said, he spent 30 years of our married life studying the book of Revelation. But I also want to say that I don't think I've ever heard anyone speak on the Holy Spirit, Brother Ballet, like you do. He speaks on the Holy Spirit. That's just an awesome, awesome way. So if you can get any of his product back there, and he'll tell you more about it, but anything on the glory, the spirit of Elijah, that spirit of Elijah has blessed me over the years, and the work of the Holy Spirit. But you that are revelators, man, you're going to love this. This man has worked with the very best, like Perry Stone, Jack Van Impe, Hal Lindsey, Grant Jeffries, and other names that we would know that maybe some of you wouldn't know. But you know what? It's not even about those names. It's about what the person carries in them. And do they have a right to speak what they know, or are they just telling us what somebody else knows? Well, you do study. But this man has spent years and experience. So, Brother Ballet, thank you for coming to Porterville all the way from Oklahoma by way of Trinidad. And Renee, I love you. Thank you for being here, too. Would you all give Brother Sherlock Ballet your love this morning as he comes to minister? Take your liberty, brother.
Hallelujah. No, I'm good here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Can somebody give him a shout of hallelujah? Amen. Amen. He's alive forevermore. You may be seated. I want to get right into the word today. It's my absolute joy to be with my dear friend and Renee's dear friend, Pastor Paulette. And I'll give her that. So let me tell you one thing before I begin today. No generation in the history of the world, none, zero, zippo, none, has had the privilege of seeing biblical prophecy written over a period of 4,000 years come to pass in 24-hour periods. Huh? So you don't have to accept what I say by faith because you're seeing it. I just talked to a parliament member in Israel this morning. As you know, we work with Israel. I said, tell me before I go to Landmark, what's going on? And he gave me the brief on what is happening today that you are not hearing. So tomorrow, I will be speaking, and there will be no live streaming. All right? And you will understand why after tomorrow evening. But as you would know, that right now, the book of Amos and Zephaniah are coming to pass before your eyes, talking about Gaza, Ashdod, Ashkelon, and Beersheba. Think about that. 2,500 years ago, prophecies were given that you are seeing on the news. Huh? That's why prophecy is tomorrow's newspaper. So, we are going to begin speaking today. Of course, I will be talking a bit on COVID and what's happening in our world right now, straight from the Word of God. Isn't that amazing? How many of you are happy that you are serving a God like that? Huh? You are serving a God that knew 4,000 years ago, put it in his word, what was going to happen today. Yeah. Huh? So if you have any thoughts about how far do I want to go, how much do I want to commit, I hope after I speak today, you will realize you commit your all and you give your all to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? Hallelujah. God bless you. Great to be in the great metropolis of Porterville. And hallelujah. Great town. Amen. I need to find a place to get some cherries. Are cherries in season? Ooh. Pounds of them are going to go into the ministry. All right? Okay. So we are going to go to Matthew chapter 24, 3 to 7, Luke 21, 28, Revelation 6, 1 to 7, Psalm chapter 91, verse 1 to 7. Did you get that? Then press rewind after you get it, okay? All right. So first, Matthew 24, 3 to 7, and Luke 21, 28. Hallelujah. Can I ask you a question before I open this? If Jesus was standing here instead of me and told you, in 6 hours I'm coming again, how would that change your behavior and your attitude? Huh? Now, let me tell you what I would do. I would go back to that Japanese restaurant we went yesterday, Habi Sushi, and I would bust a gut eating. You know why? There's no acid reflux in heaven. Huh? And I don't have to wait for a crisis to get right. So if you would tell me that if Jesus told you in 6 hours I'm coming again, you'd have to stay in church and weep for hours. Get right before you get left. Hmm? Amen? I plan like he's coming in 20 years. I live like he's coming today. Are you ready? Okay, here we go. Amen. Read, please. As he sat upon the mount, the... Stop. The who? Not the synagogue, not the whole church, just a few. So this mount, we call it the Olivet Discourse, was given to the... By the way, Matthew 24 is Revelation 6 to Revelation 19, synthesized and crushed into one chapter. Verse by verse, it goes through every chapter of the book of Revelation. It's a fascinating study, Matthew 24, compared to the book. And instead of giving that discourse to an entire congregation, he gave it to 12 men. Huh? To 12 men. The most important chapter in the Bible on the end time. But read this, please. And they... So it was never meant for public consumption before it was given to a private group. Prophecy is not primarily for the world. It's primarily for you. And then you touch the world. They don't know that 666 is the mark of the beast. They think it's surveillance. They don't know the Antichrist is the Antichrist. They think he's the human representative that will bring prosperity to the world. So prophecy is first to you, then to them. That is why it was given. Kind of like this morning. It's kind of a private thing. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm so glad you're part of the private, you know. Uh-huh. Yeah. Good. Read. Saying, tell us when shall be and what shall be the sign of thy and of the... Ah. The Greek word is aeon, end of the age. So please understand, ma'am, the end of the age is coming. You can't accelerate it. You can't delay it. It's happening. You can pray all you want. It's going to happen. You can't stop it. But what you can do is change your attitude to it and look through the filter of the Word of God. Huh? I don't look at COVID through Fauci. I look at COVID through the filter of the Word of God. Because out of every judgment comes mercy. Ah, okay. Okay. Next. Jesus answered and said, take heed that no man... No, wait. He's saying he's going to give them the sign, the preeminent sign of the end of the age. And look what he says. Not Israel, not Armageddon, not the mark of the beast. deception. If I came to church this morning with this wonderful group of people and asked the question, are you deceived? You'd run me out of Dodge. Right? Okay, so let me tell you. Be not deceived. God is not whatsoever a man soweth. Say that. Say that. That shall he also. So if you sow your wild oats and pray for crop failure, you're deceived. If you think you can live any way you want, coin your own Bible, make your own Christ, say I'm a Christian, and expect everything to be okay, you are. Okay, number one. Number two. Be ye doers of the word, not deceiving yourselves. So people in church that hear it and don't do it, they are. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth. So if we say we don't need the blood, we don't need the power, we don't need the altar, we are. How many church people are deceived? Would you like me to give you a percentage? See me at my table. I will not say it publicly. Next, please. Amen. Read. You shall hear of wars and see that you. Ain't that a good word for today? Don't be troubled. Read. Because, hey, you can't stop it. They will come. But look, the next few words are revolutionary. When you see them coming to pass, it is not the end. You have a little time. A little time. A little time. Brother Bally, how long? I don't know, but I don't buy green bananas. The rest of you will get that tomorrow. Okay. Next. Nation shall rise against. Kingdom against. And there shall be what? Famines. And in. No, this is an interesting Greek configuration. I'll tell you about that. Okay, Luke 21, 28, please. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Read. And when these things to, then lift up your, for your joy. Say, all right. Father, we are certainly thankful for our pastor and her family and for what you are doing at Landmark. Thank you for faithful service with longevity. Thank you for your people. Please anoint me to preach. Save us, deliver us, take us to your high place. And somebody say amen. There is in the scripture a certain period of time that a lot of people and prophetic scholars never talk about. Let me tell you what it is. There are phrases in the Bible called the latter time, the latter days, the end of time, the time of the end. Everybody talks about the end time, the time of the end, the latter days. But what they don't talk about is that one of the great scriptures in the Bible says, when you begin to see these, see, you will never see the end. You will see the beginning of the end. So inserted into this period called the end of time, or the time of the end, which is simply a period of time when prophecy is going to begin coming to pass at breakneck speed. Daniel 9, 26, 27 talks about it. The end will be with the flood. Matthew 24, 32, 34 talks about it. When you see all these things come to pass, that generation will not pass. According to the Word of God, there is a special period of time prophetically inserted into that period called the end of time. Now, the end of time is simply a period of time when you will begin to see prophecies coming to pass. Are we there? Oh, that was such a weak yes. Let me say it. Are we there? Are you seeing it with your eyes? And I'm going to prove it from the Word of God today.
inserted into that period is another prophetic period that only has to do with the church, called the beginning of the end. So let me show you what that means. When the world says beginning or end, when the world says things are coming to the end, when the world says your 401ks are going to be destroyed, and that's a lie. When the word says the stock market is going to die, and I'm going to prove to you that's also a lie. It's not if it's going to happen, it's when. It's the timing. And I'll show you that this morning. But when the world says apocalypse, when the world says it's going to end, God thunders from heaven and tell his people, it's only just begun. I have a new beginning for my people. I have a new power and a new anointing and a new glory and a new power. I have a new opening for my people. It is called the beginning of the end. Amen. Now, there are three aspects to the beginning. One, the beginning of the latter glory. Two, the beginning of the latter reign. Three, the beginning of the execution of the key of David. Would you like to hear about that? See my table. Can't deal with all of it this morning. Huh? But that's a wonderful message God gave me. What is the beginning of the end? So I want to declare to this ministry and to your lives, if you know the Lord, how many of you know the Lord? Would you wave your hands and give him a shout of hallelujah? Let me tell you, if you know the Lord, you have officially entered a prophetic period called the beginning of the end, when God will thunder from heaven. You are in the world, but you are not. Which means, what applies to them doesn't apply to you. That is why I am not afraid. I am not anxious. I'm not staying away. Somebody needs to give him a shout of hallelujah. Well, now hear this. Oh, Pastor, I'm going to preach this morning. Holy cow, said the Hindu priest. Oh, hallelujah. If you're Catholic, hold your beads and say Hail Mary right now, because the presence of God is coming down on somebody. I prophesy over you right now. I declare over you right now. When the world says it's ending, God has only just begun. So, Pastor, I am authorized by the Word of God to declare over your life that at the age of 58, you have only just begun. Huh? Why are you laughing? That is very sarcastic. May I declare to the church today, do not buy into the narrative of the world. It's built on a wrong spirit. It's built on a wrong kingdom. And it's built on wrong motives. I am in it, but I am not of it. My life has roots in another world. I may walk on the earth, but my roots are in the kingdom of the Almighty God. Can I declare to somebody a new beginning? Oh, hallelujah. And by the way, I can prove that to you, and I will before the meeting is over. Okay, let me give you a second point. You know, the Bible says that earthquakes and pestilences and famines will come. So when they come in a cluster, and they're plural. In diverse places does not just mean in different places. In the Greek, it means an increase in magnitude and multitude. Now, what it means is this, that even though there have been famines before, ain't no famine like now, like in Madagascar now. No rain for four years. Are you hearing me? No rain for... Like Ethiopia, they are going back to 40 years ago. So it is not that there will be famines and earthquakes. The magnitude and the multitude will increase. Let me prove. Earthquakes. In 2004, there was a 9.1 earthquake in Indonesia. It created a... Now, let me give you the stats on the tsunami. Here to there, 30 feet. 30. Okay, here to the tip. The waves were 100 feet high. Three times that. Huh? But not only that. It killed 227,819 people. It was felt in 15 countries, 5,000 miles away. Huh? it shifted the country of Japan 8 feet. It took a country and moved it 8 feet. It shifted the North Pole by 2.5 centimeters, shortened the Earth's day by 2.68 microseconds, and slightly changed the shape of planet Earth. One earthquake. Have you any idea what will happen when the Holy Ghost brings an earthquake into the kingdom of God, into the house of God, among the people of God? I want you to get ready. Because you are about to experience a prophetic shift. There will be an increase in magnitude and an increase in multitude. Your scope will increase. And the frequency of the breakthrough will increase. Okay. Brother Bailey, I don't believe that. That don't change the price of a taco tomorrow morning. What you believe? Watch this. Do you think when Jesus comes back, and I'm coming to Corbin in a moment, the four horsemen in just a moment, but I have to set it up with this. Do you think when Christ comes back, he's coming back for a spiritless, anemic, redundant, irrelevant, fearful, hiding in a corner, a bunch of do-gooders waiting for the next bus to heaven on a low-calorie dessert for quitters? Huh? You think that's who we are? Or are we a spirit sought, word taught, blood bought, tithe paying, demon chasing, mountain moving, faith stomping, God exalting, Christ worshiping? Somebody needs to shout hallelujah to the Almighty God. I declare to you, before the coming of the Lord, there will be an outpouring of glory, an outpouring of power, an outpouring of supply like you have never seen. Guess where we are? Guess where we are? Huh? Guess where we are? Right at the beginning of that move today. You think COVID can keep me from church? When God has that planned for the body? Huh? You think I'm going to miss the greatest outpouring of the power of God because of a misunderstanding with a mask? My name ain't Zorro, bro. I find it curious that those same people go to Walmart. Have family over. You mean I'm going to miss a prophetic season that is singularly applied to the body of Christ called the beginning of the end? And when the world is screaming end, I am only having beginnings in my life. Beginnings of new anointings, beginnings of new energy, beginnings of new supply, beginnings of new vision, beginnings of new dreams. All right. Can I give you a testimony before I get to COVID? May I? I don't talk about myself. I'm a poor subject. He's the biggest subject. One morning I get up. Of course, I get up every morning. And I'm walking to my office. And as clearly as I'm talking to you, I hear the voice of the Lord saying to me, teach the book of Revelation like I've taught you. And by the way, that wasn't 30 years. That was 45 years.
Wow.
45. No, it's wrong. She told you wrong. Forty-five years of research in the book of Revelation. Thousands of hours, over 100 volumes researched. So I'm an authority on the book. I said, hallelujah, thank you for telling me that. I wouldn't have done it unless you told me, Father. He did. So I sit down in my chair, and I got one of them big chairs, you know, because when I sit down, I want to sit down, kind of lay down in the chair if I want to, or, you know. Yeah. When you spend, yeah. So I sit down there and I'm talking to myself saying, wouldn't it be good if I can offer a diploma to my students? Didn't have one student yet. I want to give them a diploma. 3 hours after, you want to hear about beginning? 3 hours after, the president of North Carolina Theological College, her name is Dr. Judy Cook, calls my office. I don't know who the woman is. And said to my secretary, please tell Brother Bally, he's taught me more in 4 months on the internet than I've learned in years. Well, I felt so good. I want to talk to this lady. So I got the number and I called her. And I, after all the introductions and all of that, she said, what are you doing? I said, I'm teaching the book of Revelation. It's 40 hours of teaching accompanied by 600 pages of my notes. You heard that? 600. Yeah. She said, my vice president and I are staring at each other because we are thinking the same thing. We have a doctoral degree program that your course qualifies for. So, I'm talking about a diploma. She's talking about a doctoral degree. Because Father told me, I will show you my power. I will show you my anointing. I will give you a new beginning. It's a prophetic thing. Yes, it is. Then she said, what else have you done? Why did she ask that? Well, I've authored 13 books and I have 7 manuals. You have what? I said, 7 manuals. On what? And I gave her the 14 subjects off the top of my head. Because the older I get, the better my memory gets. Now, if you have memory trouble, you want somebody to pray for you, I'm your huckleberry. I can pray for that memory thing now. She said, what are you doing? And I gave her the subjects. She said, Brother Bally, there is no Christian college in the country that has a doctoral degree on prophetic studies about these subjects. We will be the first in the nation. So let the world thunder their beginning. Let the rumor spread. Let the lies be multiplied. I am here to prophesy over this church. If you know the Lord, if you are following the Lord, if you are ready for His coming, thus saith the Lord, dreams and visions are going to begin to come to pass in 24-hour periods that you've been waiting for years. See, let me tell you, I'm living it.
Yes, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You know, oh, by the way, my first class, I had 127 students.
All right.
I thought that was pretty good with no advertising. Now our office is beginning to advertise around the world. We are being told that London wants to come on. South America wants to come on. Trinidad wants to come on. Europe wants to come on. India wants to come on. Africa wants to come on. Because folks, I declare to your life on the authority of the Word of God, get ready for the new beginning in your life. All right, before I go to COVID, I just have to give you that encouragement before I began to preach. That was just fluff and stuff. Yeah. I want somebody that would say, Brother Bally, I believe the word of God. See, God didn't say because you're apostle or prophet. You know, everybody in America now is prophet. I tell people this is a non-profit organization. Huh? I believe in the ministry of the prophet, but not like Jezebel, you call yourself a prophet? No, we don't do that. We don't walk like that. But I'm here to let you know, it is not because of the enormity of your faith. It is because that you are alive in a generation that God has already predicted they will have a beginning and a breakthrough. So actually, you are going to walk into that new beginning just because you're alive at the right time. I wish I had some people right now to say, I believe that a new beginning can happen in my life, my family, my business, my job, right here. And in fact, let me rephrase. It's already begun here. It's already begun here. I know it. I know it. All I came to do is just give it a little movement forward. Oh, can I declare to you, you are precious to Father. Can I declare to you, you are remnant to Father. Can I declare to you, He has kingdom to give you, and power to give you, and supply to give you, and anointing to give you, and provision to give you. Can I declare to you today that a beginning is here right now? Pastor, for 35 years, I've wanted a school. 35 years. And now, our ministry is now offering not a diploma, not a doctorate. Two doctorates from an accredited college. Why? Not because of who I am, but because of who He is. I am authorized to tell you right now that end, apocalyptic, pessimistic, doom and gloom kind of thing coming from the world has no application to me. I wish I had a few people that would say, Brother Valley, I believe the Word of God.
Hey, Brother Valley, I don't feel like it. No problem. But the belly, every time I pray, all hell breaks loose. No problem. But the belly, the more I pray, the more I see stuff going on. No problem.
Because there comes a moment that God has appointed for your life. And in my opinion, that a moment is now. When Pastor Paulette called me, how did she know that Gaza would be fulfilling Amos and Zephaniah this morning? That you'll hear about Tuesday. Tomorrow, no recording. Do you believe that right here and right now this morning?
Maybe the body I've been saved for 40 years.
Yeah, but you're alive now. And the closer you get to the coming of the Lord, is the more visible, more regular, more territorial, more scope prophecy will occupy. So I wish I had a few people right now that would say, Brother Bally, I believe that a new beginning. No, no. Oh, that's all right. Don't say it yet. Okay. I'm about to ask you to stand and shout it. She's so excited. And I'm excited with you. To think after 48 and a half years of preaching, I just had a new beginning. I feel like I have just begun to preach. I want to prophesy over the church right now that the end that the world is talking about has nothing to do with you. Almighty God lives on a different dimension, in a different place, with a different covenant, with different power. And I want to declare to you that your beginning begins today. I wish I had a few people that would say, Brother Bally, I believe that. At the count of three, I want you to stand and say, God, my new beginning has begun. One, two, three. My new beginning has begun. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Say this, beginning of healing, beginning of glory, beginning of latter rain, beginning of the key of David. Give him a shout of hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. You may be seated. I want to get right into something that will shock your life, rock your world. Thank you. Prophetically. Are you ready?
Yes,
sir, could we go to Revelation 6, 2 to 8? Amen. Wow. I tell you what, Pastor, these people in the back are so effective. Look, most technicians and engineers that operate equipment are temperamental. Some temper, most mental. You have no idea how I want to kung fu some of them. But you are wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Read quickly with me. I'm going to prove something to you that's going to rock your world about where we are. Let's go. And I saw, say that, and behold a, and he that sat on him had a, notice, no arrow, and a, was given to him, and he went for. Now we know that this cannot be Christ because he doesn't have a, nobody gave him a, and he doesn't go for and to. So this has to be the Antichrist riding a white horse. False religion. Next. Read. And when he had opened the, I heard the, say it again. So there is nobody that would be able to doubt this word today. No matter who you are, no matter what you think, no matter what kind of attitude you have to God, come and see. You'll see it. Okay? Next. And they went out a, that was, power was given to him that, to, not to create war, to take peace. Because, see, this rider does not war himself, but he takes away the, and then people go to war. And the reason why there's so much warring in America and the world is because peace has been. So if you don't have the peace from the Prince of Peace, all you have is war. A war inside and a war outside. Huh? Yes, amen to that. And what? That they should. And there was given to him a. I believe that's the nuclear weapon. Next. That's the horse of war. Next. When you had opened the. I heard the third beast saying. Say it again. What are we going to do? And I behold a. And he that sat on him had a pair of. In his hand. Next. And I heard in the midst a measure of wheat for a, and three measures of, but see that you don't hurt the oil. Do not listen to those preachers that tell you you're going to wake up in the morning and not be able to get food, because even in the tribulation they get food. Yeah. Don't hurt the oil and the wine. That has great, of course this is famine. Next. Now this is the fella I'm very interested in. When he had, I heard the voice of the fourth beast saying, come and see. Next. I looked, and behold a, say that. Say that. It's very important. Next. His name that sat on him was, and I feel like I'm in a Clint Eastwood movie. Death rides a horse. And power was given unto him over 2.5 billion people will be sword and according to the word of God, listen very carefully. After the rapture of the church, there will be a jumping of the species barrier where mutant strains will be jumping the species barrier from the animal world to the human world. When that begins to come to pass, you will know that the Messiah is about to come. Now, according to the Word of God, this happens in the tribulation period, killing 2.5 billion people, not just with death, not just with sword, not just with famine, but with the beasts of the earth. So today, we are seeing a dramatic increase in the famines created by the weather, created by toxic contamination, death created by the beasts of the earth. Now, Sherlock, what are you telling me? Well, when COVID broke, we were told that it originated in the Wuhan wet market, where there were animal salamanders, foxes, koalas, snakes, and wolf pups and rats cramped together in unhygienic conditions, and out of that came the COVID. Huh? That's what we do. A few weeks after, they changed their story. They said, it came from a lab. Like you know, Sarah would understand that. Came from the lab. Huh? So is the Bible wrong? Uh-uh. Why? Because the word pale comes from the Greek word chloros. We get our English word chloroform, or biologically engineered. So whether it came from the animal world or the lab world, there it is in the book of Revelation. That's not all. So we've come to the place where we are being told this variants are coming and will continue for a long time. We got over bubonic plague, the Black Death of the 14th century, 20 million people dead, spread by fleas and rats. We got over Ebola, caused by contact with the blood and bodily fluids of infected animals. H5N1, of course, bird flu, H1N1, swine flu. We got over an enormous, we got over what? Cholera, we got over SARS, we got over MARS, we will get over this. But prophetically, according to the word of God, this will happen in the tribulation period. But some of it is happening. So is the white horse rider here? No. Is the Antichrist revealed? No. Is the mark of the beast revealed? No. Is the infrastructure here? Yes. We are only hearing the hoofbeats of the rider. The real destruction is coming. But we still have a little time because the end. If after this morning, you can still live life on your own terms, adjust the word of God to suit you instead of adjusting you to suit the word, and make your own little Christ. That's why the Bible says, in the end time, many shall come saying, I am Christ. In other words, people will be making a Christ of convenience so that their life can be comfortable. According to the word of God, this pale horse rider will appear, but before that, you will begin to hear the hoofbeats. Sherlock, what are you telling me today? There are many things I want to tell you about this. I'm going to save it for tomorrow with no recording. Because what I'm going to share is revolutionary, but it is fact. And you will see it and hear it. So here you are. In the midst of a COVID pandemic. Did you ever believe that we would experience anything like this? Anything. This is the United States of America. Somebody asked me, was this man-made? I said, if it wasn't man-made, it was man-manipulated. Man-used. But here it is. Revelation chapter 6, 2-8, coming to pass. White horse, false religion, huh? There are over 1 billion people in the world that believe that they are evolving gods now, called the New Age movement. I'll talk about that a little. War, there are over 52 places in the world right now that where war is breaking out because of religion. War, the lack of peace. Famine, Madagascar, and in the last few weeks, Ethiopia, and now this. In your generation, in your lifetime, now, come and look. If you want to give your life to the world and get trapped, you're welcome to do that. But understand this, you'll get what you want, and after you got what you want, you won't want what you got. Because everything in the world is now being decimated. But that which can be shaken will be shaken, so that which cannot be shaken will remain. And how many of you know that we cannot be shaken because we are built upon the rock and we will remain? Somebody give him a shout of hallelujah. Now, I want to take you to an Old Testament type. to show you a present day truth. Are you ready? Pastor, do I have 10 minutes again? Good. Okay. I'll take 10 minutes again. Is that okay with you? How many of you would give me 10 minutes again? Would you wave your hands? 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. Oh, I've got much time. Much time. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Huh? You give me the whole day? Okay. Thank you. Thank you. So let me tell you what. In about 15 minutes, I'll be gone. You can stay all day. But 15 minutes, I'll be gone. I'll be gone. Ooh, whoop, whoop. Okay. Let's go to Psalm 91, verse 1. And hallelujah. Hila bosata. Thank you for your hope, Father. Thank you for your hope. Read with me. He that in the secret place of the shall. Oh, stop, stop. There is no psalm in the Bible that begins like that. None. Zippo. Zero. Look. Read that word. 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 Read that. Novus. Zip. This is the most powerful beginning of any psalm in the Bible. But look at verse 2. Read. I will say of the Lord, say that. Lord, he is my refuge, my God, in. Say that. Lord, say that. Refuge, say that. Lord, say that. God. Designations of God. Next.
Thank you, God.
Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the foul and from the noisome
pestilence.
How many of you believe that God has the power to deliver you from the pestilence? Would you say amen? Oh, by the way, the word pestilence is the Hebrew word deber, D-E-B-E-R. The translation is plague or infectious disease. Psalm 91 becomes a prophecy of a coming infectious disease that God will deliver us from. Do you know why the first, go to verse 1, would you, sir? Yeah, verse 1. Yeah, verse 1. Yeah. Read. Why do you think that's 911? It's an emergency appeal in the time of pestilence, in the time of horror, in the time of pain, in the time of infection, in the time of a plague. It's my emergency appeal to God. 911! Now, I will show you something, okay? The word deliver. Somebody say deliver.
Deliver.
Say deliver.
Deliver.
It's either God can't or he can't. It's either he can't or he can. He will deliver me. The word deliver comes from the Hebrew word natsal. It means five things. You know, a Hebrew word can have up to, and this one has. Would you like to know what they are? Let me tell you what they are. Number one. To snatch away. To rescue. I want to declare to some of you, God will rescue you. I have been made to understand that some wonderful people went on to be with the Lord because of COVID. They got their ultimate healing. Their ultimate healing. To be with the Lord. And if you ask them to come back, they tell you, no. I will see you soon. But the meaning is not just deliver. It means this. At this time, God will strip away your enemy and spoil your enemy. So while you are going through this challenge of the plague, God will strip away your enemy and then spoil him. How many of you are ready for God to strip away spiritual enemies that came against your life, that haunted you and taunted you, and you're ready to see a manifestation of that in your life? Would you give him a shout of hallelujah in the house of God? May I declare to you that every enemy that came against you pre-COVID is going to be stripped away by the power of the Almighty God during this time. You ask my wife. She lives with me. I was locked in for 14 weeks, couldn't preach. In 14 weeks, we had only 3 arguments, all based on food. And it really wasn't an argument. It was just, why isn't my food ready? I'm going now. We thought it was satire. I declare to you, sir, if you are here, and enemies from your past have been haunting you, I declare prophetically that they are about to be stripped away by the power of the Lord right here and right now this morning. God will not allow to enter you to enter post-COVID with pre-COVID oppression. God will strip it away. Somebody say, strip it away. God will strip it away. And for those of you that feel comfortable in your own little life, my 4 and no more, failing to realize that you are here to touch a world, may God help you. You are not irrelevant. The second meaning is that he will spoil the enemy. Say spoil. Spoil comes from the Greek concept, Roman concept of 2 generals fighting. One loses, one wins. The winning general goes in to the losing general, takes everything of value, brings it into his camp on a white horse. And all this is brought here. So in other words, during this time, God gives you the ability to walk into the enemy's camp and take back what the enemy has stolen from you. Would you give him a shout of hallelujah in the house of the Lord? Can I tell you something? In November, she and I got COVID. November. I'm a fairly strong guy. I mean, I don't get sick and all of that. I was so weak, I could not walk from my bed to my recliner without... Yeah. One day, I was on the bed. I felt my life leaving my body. I literally felt my life leaving me. I said, oh, God, I couldn't talk. I said, please, Lord, no. No, 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 no. The next morning, Renee came and touched me in bed. I opened my eyes. She was in the kitchen. Baby, come and tell them what happened when I walked in. Okay, yeah. Oh, we didn't plan this. She didn't know I was going to do this. So remember, I couldn't walk. What happened, baby?
When I turned around, he was almost right behind me. And normally it would take him a long time to get there. But I turned around and he had a look on his face that was bright, energetic look on his face. And I was surprised because for 2 or 3 days he was in the bed and he couldn't move. He couldn't turn position, let alone walk from where he was to where I was.
Well, the reason I couldn't move is she had 4 quilts over me. I couldn't get warm. Yeah, hold it closer to you, baby. Yeah.
But I turned, after I asked him, what's going on? I didn't know because I'd just been into the bedroom. He couldn't hardly talk, let alone move. And when he says, I feel good. I've got energy. I can walk without sliding my feet. And he went very briskly into his office, which was about from here to that door. And exactly. It was God. It was God.
From that day to now, my energy level has increased by 25%. To now, nobody can understand how you can come out of COVID and have an energy increase. But I want to tell you something. God was preparing me for the challenges and the victories and the power and the mountains and the glory that was before me that I knew nothing about. I declare to you that right now, thus saith the Lord, you will walk into the enemy's camp and take back. Take it back. Somebody say, take it back. That's the meaning of the word deliver. Take back your health. Take back your family. Take back your mind. Take back your emotion. Take back your job. Take back your resource. Take back your vision. Take back your dreams. Take it back. I wish I had somebody that believes that you can take it back now just to stand up and shout, I'm taking it back. I'm taking it back. I'm taking it back. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm taking it back. Taking it back. You may be seated. Taking it back. The third meaning of the word natsal is the frustration of an enemy looking and seeing somebody swooping in. The enemy is frustrated because instead of being afraid, hiding, complaining, whining, and talking about CNN, and you know what CNN is, certainly not news. Instead of doing that, we are swooping in. Hey, when you get up in the morning, look in the mirror and say, good morning, swooper. I'm not hiding. I'm not afraid. I'm challenging you, devil. I'm standing against the mountain. I'm standing against the power. I'm standing against the circumstance. But that's not. Let me give you the fourth meaning. The enemy is now bewildered by this action of a superior force. So he now recognizes that these people are superior. Devil, have your Malox moment now. Because your worst nightmare has come. I have the power of God. I have the word of God. I have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I have my faith in the Almighty God. The last meaning of the word is that we now gain control of all his illegally gained goods. And we get it back. Somebody say, we get it back. How many of you are ready to get it back? Would you say amen to the Lord? Let me give you one more thought, and then we'll continue tomorrow. Under the shadow of the Almighty. Several times in the Word of God, there are places where the Bible says, and that God would meet the Jews in the temple between the, or God would meet with the people between the wings of the cherubim. That there he would come. Between the wings of the... Once a year. The glory of God, we call it Shekinah, would come as a light into the Holy of Holies on the mercy seat between the wings. And it would cast a shadow on the floor. And the priest would lay in the shadow of the Almighty. Let me show you why that is so powerful. Sister, would you come? Yeah? Come. Hallelujah. Come. All right. Can you make it? You stay right there. Stay right here. Stay right here. I want you to be a part of this. Would you come? Put your hands up and out. Now you come here. Put your hands out. Uh-huh. And here. No, here. Right here. Yes. Right here. Yes. Right here. Yes. This is what the wings of the cherubim would like. Oh, and God would meet them here. My God. In other words, your lifted hands are the wings of the cherubim. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now watch this. God inhabits the Hebrew word inhabit is enthroned. So when you praise him, you offer him a throne in your life. He already has a throne in the world, but in your life, only your praise gives him a throne. That's why the Ark of the Covenant was known as the throne of God on earth. The Hebrew word Aron, the chest of God, the heart of God, or the throne of God. So when those hands were lifted, the cherubim, the wings, and it cast the shadow, he was indwelling the praises of his people. So when you come to church, the simple act of a... You know, you tell church people to praise God, and the first thing they do is clap, which is the last level on the praise. Takes no effort to do that. Praise is still a lifted hand and an open mouth. You see, contrary to public opinion, you can't praise God like a woman putting on lipstick. In the midst of a pandemic, God gave you 911. He will deliver you. He will. And that deliverance doesn't just mean you'll get sick and get well. It means that during your process, God will spoil the enemy. God will strip the enemy. God will cause the enemy to see you swooping in. And then the enemy knows you are a superior force. Then you take back everything. You know what I feel? 1 year after COVID, I have much more energy. I just played 18 holes of golf in Palm Desert in 105 degree weather, and I had the energy to play the 18.
Awesome. Praise God.
And I could have played 9 more, but it cost too much. So I did. I want to encourage you. You are precious to Father. And you are here this morning. Thank you for being here. I hope this was a blessing to you. If it wasn't, too late. But I want to pray with you before I turn to Pastor and make two announcements, and that's all. Pastor, I don't know about you. I'm hungry. Oh, God. That Japanese food didn't last too long. Look, we all deal with our giants and our doubts and our fears. The devil always wants us to stay in his camp so that he can have your life to eat you up, to chew you up, to spit you out, and then mock the meat he fed on, to put your life in a place of hell. And remember, should somebody miss the rapture because you're not serving the Lord and you go to hell, please understand, there ain't no four-letter words in hell called exit. Please understand. So I appeal to you today. Come and see. I don't ask you to, I don't like preaching. Well, you know, that's not relevant at all. You saw fact. You saw fact. Prophesied 2,000 years ago. You saw fact in Psalm 91. Prophesied 2,500 years ago. So it's up to you now. Are you going to buy into the world that is messed up? Crazy. Are you aware of the fact that during COVID, suicide went up 700% in Southern Cal? 700%. That's world for you. No hope. I want to ask, is there someone here today and you don't know the Lord? not dedicated your life to the Lord, because it's been a hard decision to make for some. It was easy for me, even though I lived like hell. It was curse or blessing, life or death, Christ or the Antichrist, heaven or hell. What choice? I mean, simple, what choice? How do you complicate the choice? You want hell? Live in the world. You want curse? Live in the world. You want people to forsake you? Live in the world. Death? Live in the world. You want life? Blessing? Live in the kingdom of God. So I ask quickly. I'll take 30 seconds and it's over. Now I want to show you something. Some people think they know God up here. They have all the information, but they don't have him down here. That's transformation. They have information without transformation. And the space from your head to your heart is 12 inches. A lot of people are going to miss heaven by 12 inches. That is why 12 inches is called the ruler. So I want to ask, is there someone today? I plead for your soul like that white missionary preached to me, that woman preached, and my life got saved that day from being an addict, a fighter, taekwondo, fighter, messed up life. Is there somebody who would say, Sherlock, I'm not going to live one more day, one more hour in the devil's camp that's going to make my life bitter and angry and messed up. But I want to say yes to Jesus. I'm going to pray for you right where you are. Right where you are. I'm going to believe God for you. Remember, wimps go to hell. Cowards go to hell. Men go to heaven. Women go to heaven. A wimp follows the devil and every little thought they have. A man follows God and a woman. I want to ask, is there one person that would say, Sherlock, would you pray for me right where I am, because I want to commit my life to the Lord. I do not want to live this life I've seen this morning. Is there anybody? Would you take your right hand and lift it and just say, Sherlock, pray for me. And right where you are, I'll be honored. Thank you, sir. You're a man, my friend. Hey, man. Bless you, bro. So, bless you, buddy. Let me tell you something. The day I gave my life to the Lord, I was a messed up, doped up, angry, worthless person. And he saved me. I bless you. Look what the Lord can do. And talk about want to fight. Holy God, holy God. I saw these two hands. Is there anybody else? Bless you, darling. Bless you, honey. I bless you today. I plead for your soul. Bless you, ma'am. Bless you. Bless you. Thank you, ma'am. I plead for your soul. Bless you. You may put your hands down. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Please don't live in the devil's camp and think the world is going to be good to you. It has never been. It will never be. And when you and your friends and the cops come, they ain't going to say they were the ones. They would say you're the one. I saw these five hands. Is there anybody else? I'm about to pray for these people. I plead for the soul of someone here today. I plead for the soul of someone here today. Is there anybody else? Would you lift your hand? Bless you, honey. I promise you, Father is going to touch you special today. I promise you. Amen. I'm about to close. Is there anybody else? Life or death? Heaven or hell? Curse or blessing? Your choice. Live with the results. Okay, I'm about to close. Is there anybody else? Please let the devil know that you're not a garbage can. You're a temple. Okay. I never get in a rush when it comes to the souls of men. Never. Hallelujah. Okay, my last appeal. Is there anybody else beside these six people that lifted their hands? Would you lift your hands and say, Sherlock, pray for me right where you are. I'll be honored. Devil, not one more night, not one more hour, not one more minute in your hell-bent for leather death camp. God bless you, honey. God bless you. God bless you. bless you. Is there anybody else? Please, I plead with you. I plead with you. I plead with you. You're not a garbage can for the devil to put his garbage. You're a temple.
Yes,
thank you, ma'am. Bless you. Bless you. Thank you, sir. Bless you, sir. Bless you, my brother. Bless you, honey. Hey, honey, I promise you today, Father is going to touch you and he's going to help you. I promise you. Is there anybody else? Anybody else? My God, Pastor, the hands are going off all over this church this morning. All right, I'm going to pray now. Is there anybody else? Ma'am, your last moment. Young lady, your last moment. Last moment. Last moment. Bless you, honey. Bless you, bless you, bless you. Bless you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Right where you are, Pastor and I will pray with you. Would you stand right where you are? You're not coming forward. Just stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking. Would you stand up? If you lifted your hand, stand up now. Quickly, would you? Pastor, come with me. Come. Come with me. Bless you. Yeah, just keep standing if you would you? Thank you. Yes, help her, help her, help her, help her, help her, help her. All right. I want you to pray this prayer with Pastor Paulette and I. Would you please? Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercy and your grace. I'm a sinner. Wash me in the precious blood of the Lamb. Come into my life. Make me whole. I confess you as my Savior and my Lord. I believe right now everlasting life is flowing through me. Amen. Pastor, and I believe for miracles and for breakthroughs and for outpourings in their life. In Jesus' name. Amen.